Blog Talk Radio.
Come
Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Master Yahweh, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Yahweh said unto me, say not, I am a child, for you shall go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command you to speak, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith Yahweh. Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, one who is established by Yah, what do you see? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said Yahweh unto me, you have seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of Yahweh came unto me the second time, saying, what seeth you? And I said, I see a steaming pot, and the face thereof is towards the north. Then Yahweh said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Yahweh, and they shall come, and they shall set everyone his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of those who praise Yah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. You, therefore, gird up your loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command you. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the princes thereof, and against the people of the land. Excuse me. Against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, saith Yahweh, to deliver you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Abba, Toda Rabbah Abba, for the words that you put within Al-Mure, my brother, Ariel, last night. Toda Rabbah Abba, for allowing us to see another day, another Shabbat, giving us another chance to get things right with you, Abba. Abba, thank you for the breath of life. We thank you for protecting us throughout the week. We thank you for the lessons that we learned. We thank you for the struggles that you helped us overcome. We thank you for strengthening us, Abba. We ask you, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, Abba. We ask you, Abba, to forgive us for all the doubts that we have, for our frailties, Abba. When we feel as though, when our feelings get up and they overtake what we know is the truth, Abba, that you will never leave us, You never forsake us. Father, we ask for forgiveness, Father, for all our shortcomings. We ask, Father, that you continue to heal us physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, Abba. We ask, Abba, that you continue to keep your hands on our sister Chomi, on our Ema Deborah, on our Zach Kins, on our Rabbi, and anyone else, Father, who is hurting and feeling as though they can't bear this. All the families of Yisrael, Father. Anyone who feels as though that they can't keep going through this. They can't keep living this life, Abba. We ask that you continue to strengthen them and make your presence known and felt, Abba. Abba, we ask that you continue to grow us mentally. Continue to open your word onto us, Abba. Abba, and continue to confirm in your words to us, Abba. You had me on fire last night, Abba. And I understand how the prophets of old felt, Abba, because they were men too. And I know that they just love getting confirmation of your word the same way that we do, Abba. So, Abba, we ask that you continue to show us our wrongdoings and continue to show us a way to correct our wrongdoings, Abba. Continue to just be with us, lead us, and guide us, and grow us in the manner that you want us to, Abba. Slowly, permanently, Abba. We pray that you strengthen us and that we look upon one another, Father, when we see each other going to the left and to the right, Abba, that we don't despise correction from you, each other, Abba. It's our duty to continue to look after one another, Abba. So we pray that we are not lax in that duty. Because as my brother said, the end game is for everyone to get into that kingdom. Where you said that you will wipe away all the tears. You said there would be no more pain. We all want to experience that, Abba. And we pray that we are worthy and we are good enough, Father, in your eyes to receive that crown. Blessed be you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed be you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. This is your brother, Deuel. Week one, magnify the Torah and make it honorable. I tell you, y'all, I sent out a text listening to my brother last night. We are really, truly blessed. You know, I had to call my brother up and tell him, man, he just don't know. Because everything you heard last night, you're going to hear again, y'all. See, everything that you heard last night, and again, we don't talk. We do not talk. I had to call my brother up and apologize to my brother for not talking to him. I haven't talked to Ariel in months. Me and Ariel used to talk almost every day. I haven't talked to him in months. You know, my brother Shebael swung by yesterday. We was on the phone. He swung by my house. It was nice outside. I was on the porch. I talked to Rabbi. I talked to Shebael. He swung by for a couple of minutes. Bought me some jerk chicken. You know, and it was good to see my brother. You know, Ariel did his lesson and everything, and I tell you, I was just on fire, man, because he didn't know that Abba put it way back when to talk about mental strength and how to defend our mind. He didn't know that. But Abba put it in his heart to talk about the warrior's mentality. And think about that, y'all. You know, me and the Harbell, we talked a while ago talking about this show called Alone. It's on Netflix. And they just drop people out in like the middle of, in this case, it was like Vancouver, British Columbia, I think. It was somewhere very cold because it was snowing all the time. And you could see the ice building up from the rain and everything. You could see the lake. It kind of froze over a little bit. You know, it was bears out there. But these people are survivalists. They are trained to be alone. They are trained to go out in the wilderness and survive. But every single last one of them talked about it's not so much the eating or the drinking that get to you. It's the loneliness, the mentality, your mind breaking down. And that was the cause of many of them people to tap out. You know, outside of what's going on with your body, because food is scarce and you're dealing with nature. You out there eating, well, guess what? It's bears out there eating, rabbits out there eating, mice out there eating, all kinds of nature out there eating the same food that you're scavenging for. That being said, we didn't know. And just imagine, I'm sitting up there, I'm texting my brother, and Abba, even down to the word that he talked about, 318, the word shiak. He didn't know that I was studying that word, that Abba led me to study that word. He didn't know that. So I'm texting the brother, I'm texting him the Hebrew number. I ain't have to look it up. I was studying it all week. I knew exactly what he was talking about. You know? So, and you know, I've showed me some things with that word too. So, again, a lot of stuff that you heard last night, you're going to hear again. Why? Because Abba wants us to understand the importance of developing our mind. Why? Because the attack is on our mind. When you think about how Satan attacks, and we talk about this, and if you don't understand, go on YouTube, use that technology. Yaakel has put up a series called Who is Satan? Mi HaSatan on YouTube. Go back, go through those things. Because the one thing, and not bragging, not boasting, but it's a beauty. It's the blessing and the curse. One thing the people at Beth Yahweh can't say is that they didn't know, or they didn't have the resources, or Abba didn't show us, because he showed the Marais. He showed the sisters. He showed the brothers. We have no excuse. He has revealed himself to us. And the things that he hasn't revealed yet, he shall reveal in his time. So be patient. If you don't know the answer to something, ask the question. If you don't, and again, that cannot be stressed enough. You have to open up. And when I say you have to, I mean everybody. Our brother talked about last night about, you know, getting in the trenches with a brother. Well, if we don't know what the brother going through, how can we get in the trenches with him? We have to open up. He talked about when people ask for prayers. Right there, boom, everybody start praying. When it goes out, boom, everybody start praying. You ain't got to post it on the line, because a lot of times I don't post stuff on the line. I'm praying for you. You know, it's very seldom that I really post a whole bunch of things on the line. But last night, like I said, the fire was just in me last night, y'all. Because Abba just was like, see, do you understand? Do you understand how important this is right now? Yes, I hear you, Abba, you know. And right then and there, and don't y'all understand when my brother DJ Ahab Al put Waging War up? How fitting. You understand? But don't y'all understand, even with all that stuff going on, even with all these things going on, time of testing is still coming on. So while all that's playing on, Hank and Albert told me, he told me to read Jeremiah. Jeremiah who? Chapter 1, verse 4, all the way to the end. Start off that way. Here comes Satan. Nah, nah, nah. Don't do that. You always start off with a prayer. Start off with the prayer first. And I'm sitting up there going, yeah, I always do. Start off with the prayer. You ain't supposed to change the format up. Let's just go ahead and, nuh-uh. See, that was a time of testing. Because within Jeremiah, it said this. What do you see? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. What do you see? I see that pot seething and it's pointing to the north. You saw well. Why? He saw exactly what Abba was showing him. So when we get that word, we do it the way Abba say do it, exactly to the T. We got so many examples. The man, the prophet that went down. Look, when you go down into this, I want you to go down there, deliver this word. Don't you turn back on the road. Don't you stop in nobody's house. Don't you do none of that. You do that, I'm going to get you. Okay, the prophet went down, went into the road, never turned back. Another man lied, said, I'm a prophet. Come on in. And the word of Yahweh came to me and said this, that, and another. He said, come on in and relax with me. The prophet did not do what Abba said do. That's all he did was was part of his long journey. He was tired. And he listened to that other prophet. And what was his reward? Hey, Yahweh said, don't turn into nobody's house. So when you leave here, you can get mauled by a lion. And a bear going to eat you. You're going to die. You lost your life. Why? Just because he turned into somebody's house? No, just because he didn't do what Abba say do the way he say do it. That's what happened. Think that Hasatan, our opponent, is going to just let up just because Abba give you something. The time of testing is always there. So sometimes we have to go through these tests alone. It's a time for that. But sometimes you call on the brother, like my brother said. You call the brothers, and because it's strength in numbers. We don't have to bear anything by ourselves. Nothing. He said he made you a defense wall. He made you a defense city with strong walls, those brazen walls. And I'm fighting for you. And I'm fighting with you. And the quicker we get that through our brain, the better off we'll be. Me and my brother was talking last night, and one of the things that Abba put on my mind, see, because he was talking about the whole demons getting him, and he ran and said, now we laughed about it, this, that, and another. And I told him, yeah, I said, I understand, I feel it too. I be feeling those little demons on my feet, at night because it feel like somebody's grabbing, messing with my feet, messing with my legs. It's like pulling on him sometimes. So I understand what he's going through. Sometimes I can feel something like moving underneath my bed. I don't have mice or nothing like that. I can feel my bed shaking a little bit. You know? But I don't pay no attention. Because if they could touch me, they would touch me. But they can't. And I remember that. And that's something we all need to remember. If they can get you, they're going to get you. Ain't no timeouts in the war. If they can take your life, they're going to. If they can, just look at all the examples that we have in Scripture. I cast you out in the name of Paul's God. Well, I know Paul. I know Yahushua, but who is you? It said them demons beat him, bruised him, and sent him on naked. Look at the times when the man who was locked up in the graveyard with the demons possessed on him, and they said chains couldn't even hold him. He would just rip the chains off. Look at all the stories. It talks about how the demons would take the boy and throw him down in the fire. So these demons ain't having no pity on us. If they can get you, they're going to get you. Look at all the stuff that Job went through. You can touch everything around him, but don't you touch him. Okay, fine. You can touch him, but don't you take his life. And they went to the exact limit that Abba put. They did whatever they wanted to do to Job, but they could not take his life. And believe me, if they could do the same to us, they would not hesitate. That's something we have to remember. We have to remember those things. They have no power over us. They don't want it with us. And that can't be reiterated. That can't be reiterated enough. See, that's something that we need to have our minds absorb. Absorb, y'all. Meditate on that. And again, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about meditation. Yeah. So I sent out three links on the line, all right? I think it's the 20 line. I just sent it out. One is verywellminded.com. The other one is myclevelandclinic.org. And the other one is helpline.com. All right, so y'all can read along and let science continue to agree with Abba. All right, but before we start that, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. All right, and this is our found scripture. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yah, to the pulling down of strongholds." Casting down, verse 5, very important. Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Messiah. All right? That last part of the quote is what we're going to be focusing on, meditation. Bringing these thoughts captive. unto the obedience of Messiah. Getting rid of those thoughts that exalt itself against Yah. Right? Because that's what he's talking about here. So, we're going to verywellminded.com, and we're going to start there. The link is on the, if you don't have it, can one of my brothers send the link out to, again, if somebody doesn't have it, please and thank you. So, this topic is, what is meditation? It was by Ms. Kendra Cherry. I'm guessing it's a miss. I'm going to say by Kendra Cherry. And it's from, it was updated on September 8th, 2022. Right? So, it says, what is meditation? Meditation can be defined as a set of techniques that are intended to encourage a heightened state of awareness and focused attention. Remember the definition, y'all. Meditation is also a consciousness-changing technique. Shon Todaki. Meditation is also a consciousness-changing technique shown to have many benefits on psychological well-being. Some key things to note about meditation. Meditation has been practiced in cultures all over the world for thousands of years. Nearly every religion, including Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, has a tradition of using meditative practices. While meditation is often used for religious purposes, many people practice it independently of any religious or spiritual beliefs or practices. Meditation can also be used as a psychotherapeutic technique. Remember that, y'all. It's good for the meditating is good for the psyche. There are many different types of meditation. All right. So we're going to drop down to where it says types of meditation. It says meditation can take on many different forms. But there are two main types, concentrative meditation and mindfulness meditation. Concentrative meditation involves focusing on a specific thing while tuning out everything else around you. In other words, bringing those thoughts into captivity, right? Now, they're using it for whatever they're using it for. Let's say, they give an example of it. Let's just read the example. He said, the goal is to experience whatever you are focusing on, whether it's your breath, a specific word, or a mantra, to reach a higher state of being. So they're focusing on breath, right? And you're meditating on your breathing. So what you're trying to do is isolate your thoughts on the sound of your breath, the rhythm of your breath, right? But with Yahushua, we're supposed to be meditating on him. So what we're trying to do is isolate those thoughts on him and only hear him. Does that mean all those thoughts is going to stop? No, it's a spiritual war. Think about the warrior's mentality, y'all. Think about you're in the heat of battle and you hear your brother crying, help, help. But you're on the battlefield, you're fighting. So what you have to do, dispatch the opponent that you're fighting with and go help your brother. And you're focusing on that voice. Help. I got to wham, kill him and get to my brother and help my brother. Because his life is on the line too. If y'all understand my point. See, It's about what you're meditating on. It's about what has your focus. What thoughts are you trying to capture? Right? So, sorry about that. It says mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness meditation includes, among others, both mindfulness-based stress reduction and mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. You mean meditating can help reduce stress? Yahushua said it this way, come take my yoke. My yoke is light. It's not burdensome. In other words, you ain't having all this stress when you deal with me. If you come yoke up with me, what? Yahushua's doing the heavy lifting. That's why your yoke is light. It's because he's taking on the burdens. That's all you have to do is, like the word say, excuse me, family. It's like the word say, somebody sent this out earlier. You only have to endure this life for a short time. And it talks about the petty things that we go through this life. The little things that we go through when we're living this life. It's only a short time, y'all. We just got to power through it. You know, it's like getting a needle. I hate needles. You know, I don't even like to see. As long as I close my eyes, I'm good. As long as I don't see that needle piercing my skin, I'm good. Going to that vein and drawing my blood, and it's like, I can't stand it. So I close my eyes. And he said, you're going to feel a pinch. Mm-hmm. Ow! Little thing. It's just a little burden. But them drawing my blood reveals so much. It will reveal what's going on with me physically. Oh, Mr. Hurley, you know, maybe your cholesterol might be up. It's not. Thanks so about Abba for that. Your high blood pressure, I don't have any of that. Told Abba Ba. And keep me under that hedge, Abba. You know? But that little pinch, that little burden reveals so much. And it will get us back on a track, back on that track where Abba needs us to be. Right? So, both stress-based reduction and cognitive therapy, it can, we talked about, I would put it on Yaka L's heart to talk about cognitive therapy. And our brother Ariel talked about it too. Both of those things ought to be within, I know Ariel's was in Blog Talk, is in the archives. I know that. I believe Yaka'el's might be on YouTube, or if it's not, it's in the Blog Talks. See, but again, these Abba's just rehashing. Well, excuse me. Science is rehashing Abba, I should say. All these things can be found within his word. It says, mindfulness can target different issues, such as depression, meaning its focus may differ from practice to practice. Now, whoever he's talking about, the people who teach mindfulness meditation, they teach different practices. They teach you how to be mindful of different things. Like some person might specialize in depression. Some person might specialize in another field. So that's what it means, going to be different from practice to practice. But guess what, y'all? We got the Creator. We got a specialist in every area of life. So what happens when we are mindful of Yah, mindful of Yahushua? Can it give us a better quality of life? Or at least a better quality of mind? Because however the mind goes, so does the man. Right? He says, overall, it involves the state of being aware of and involved in the present moment and making yourself open, aware, and accepting. Specific meditation types. Body scan meditation. This practice involves the scanning of the body and noticing physical sensations. Breathing meditation. This involves focusing on different breathing techniques. Loving kindness meditation. This technique involves focusing your attention on loved ones, yourself, and others as you think kind and caring thoughts. Mantra meditation. This practice involves chanting a word or phrase, which can be done aloud or in your mind. Movement meditation. This type of meditation involves focusing on the movements of the body, either by moving specific parts of the body or observing the world around you during a walk. Object-focused meditation. This type involves focusing attention on a specific object or mental image. How to practice meditation. Love it. Meditation and doing these things it's not just a spiritual thing, it's practical. We have to practice these things. When we have to practice on focusing and bringing these thoughts into the captivity of Yahushua. Like my brother said, you have to be thinking about what you're thinking about. So what exactly do you do during meditation? While there are many different types, forms of meditation and ways to practice, learning a basic meditation for beginners is a great place to begin. One, choose a quiet spot that is free of distractions. Turn off your phone, television, and other distractions. If you choose to play quiet music, select something calm and repetitive. Two, set a time limit. If you are just getting started, you might want to stick to shorter sessions of about 5 to 10 minutes in length, and then you grow out from there, just like exercising. You don't start at 220. Pay attention to your body and get comfortable. You can sit cross-legged on the floor or in the chair, as long as you feel that you can sit comfortably for several minutes at a time. Four, focus on your breathing. Try taking deep breaths that expand your belly and then slowly exhale. Pay attention to how each breath feels. Five, notice your thoughts. Very important, y'all. Listen to this. Because the purpose of meditation is not to clear your mind. Your mind is inevitably going to wander. Instead, focus on gently bringing your attention back to your breath whenever you notice your thoughts drifting. Don't judge your thoughts or try to analyze them. Simply direct your mind back to your deep breathing. So you're focusing on that word, and then your thoughts start to drift. You start paying more attention to those spirits that are trying to take your thoughts off the word. Right? But what do you say? Refocus. Bring it back to that. Make Yahushua your CEO. Make him the jailer of your thoughts. Make him your CEO. Make him. And, you know, it sounds crazy, but that's what, and CO, those of you who don't know, correctional officer, your police officer, the one who is supposed to bring correction to you, right? Make Yahushua your CO. So when those thoughts start to drift off, get it back in line, right? Get it back in line. Impact of meditation. Forgive me, y'all. I'm sorry. Abba just got me stirring right now. It says, impact of meditation. Consciousness is often likened to a stream, shifting and changing smoothly as it passes over the terrain. Meditation is one of those deliberate means of changing the course of this stream, and in turn, altering how you perceive and respond to the world around you. Again, y'all, these are people who are studying the brain, studying how this brain functions within this world. They know these things. See, but what if we concentrate, and again, they're not saying nothing that the word ain't already said. But they just concentrating on the wrong stuff. They just focusing. Their focus is not what you're supposed to be focusing on. That's all. But we have been called. We have been chosen. Again, before you was formed, I knew you. Before you was formed in your mama's belly, I knew you. You were mine. I know how bad you wanted to be with me. He says, research has shown that meditation can have both physiological and psychological effects. Some positive physiological effects include a lower state of physical arousal, reduced respiration rate, decreased heart rate, changes in brain wave patterns, and lowered stress. So it can benefit you physically as well as mindfully. Some of the other psychological, emotional, and health-related benefits of meditation include better management of symptoms related to anxiety disorders, depression, sleep disorders, pain issues, and high blood pressure. And that's with them concentrating on the wrong stuff. Imagine what Yahushua will do for you too. Better stress management skills, change in different aspects of attention and mindfulness. In other words, cognitive therapy. Increase self-awareness. Improve emotional well-being. Improve working memory and fluid intelligence. Improved immunity. Greater empathy for yourself and others. Headache relief. Drop down says, what does meditation do to the brain? In addition to helping with anxiety and stress, evidence suggests that meditation has a powerful effect on the brain. Using brain imaging techniques, studies have found that regular meditation leads to changes in brain structure. For example, one study showed weeks of mindfulness-based stress reduction was associated with increased volume in the brain's hippocampus, a structure associated with emotional regulation and memory. Remember, we went through that the last section, the parts of the brain that deal with emotion. Why? Because a lot of times those emotions are dealing with memories. And one of the things that meditation helps you do is accept things, something else that we're going to be talking about a little bit later. Not today, but that's another lesson. He says, brain's hippocampus, a structure associated with emotional regulation and memory. It was also connected to decreased volume in the, I always mess this word, amygdala, a structure that plays a part in the anxiety, fear, and stress. Remember, we talked about that part of the brain too. Research has also linked meditation practices to brain connectivity and may potentially improve brain plasticity. All right. Tips for meditation. Tips for meditation. If you are interested in trying meditation, some tips and tricks will help you get started on a beneficial meditation practice. One, start slow. Begin by doing short sessions of around 5 to 10 minutes a day, then work your way up progressively to longer sessions. Two, set a schedule. Try meditating at the same time each day. Now, our brother, by the wisdom of Yahweh, talked about prayer and the times that we should pray on a schedule. When you wake up at the rising of the sun, high noon, setting of the sun. Right? He says, excuse me, try meditating at the same time each day for a few minutes, first thing in the morning, for example. Get comfortable. Sitting cross-legged on the floor is one option, but comfort is the key. You need to be in a position where you can sit for several minutes without getting uncomfortable, stiff, or restless. Focus on what you're feeling. Breathe naturally and notice the feelings and sensations you experience as you breathe in and out. Don't try to suppress feelings. Your mind is bound to wander as you meditate, and sometimes this can lead to thoughts and feelings that are uncomfortable, or even distressing. The goal isn't to clear your mind of such thoughts. What you should think about instead is acknowledging these thoughts without judging them and then gently guiding your focus back towards your breath. One thing that I often do is when I hear Satan talking to me and he's telling the truth, I say, you're right. Because those demons will talk to you, and they will come and bring your shortcomings. When he accused David and said, David is a murderer, he wasn't lying. His life should be mine. He wasn't lying. According to the word, he wasn't lying. See, but Yahweh said, but David said, had now Yahweh not stood up for me, as he does for all of us, we have to acknowledge the good and the bad, because we're learning from the good and the bad. So it's okay to say that you're lonely when you're going through stuff. I'm depressed. Whatever it is you're going through, acknowledge that. Acknowledge it. Don't fight it. You know what? I am lonely. I am tired. And then Abba gives you the answer. Focus on me. I'm fighting with you. I'm here to strengthen you. You need help? You can't handle this alone? I got a brother to call you, a sister to call you. I got an inspirational thought going on somebody's mind right now that they're going to put on this technology, and you're going to see it. You just don't cut yourself off like he told Jeremiah. Abba, I'm just a child. I can't talk. I can't speak. I'm just a child. Don't you say you just a child. Don't you say that. I picked you. And you're going to tell these folks everything that I tell you to tell them. Because if you don't, if you're afraid, I'm going to make you afraid. So don't you be afraid of their face. That's all he wants for us. Stand up, Yisrael. He constantly telling us, gird your loins up like a man. Stop being fearful. Like, you know, me and my brother, we laughed about him. Because I got on him. He said, yeah, man, I booked it. I ran out of there. I ran into the bathroom. I said, why are you running to the bathroom like they can't come in there? What you running for? Excuse me, I'm sorry. But we got a chuckle out of it. Because when you think about it, like they can't go from room to room. You know, Satan everywhere. He's trying to get you wherever you are, y'all. No need to run. He said, resist the devil. You fight the devil, and he's going to flee from you. See, but we have to. We talk a little later. Hopefully we'll get to it. I'll just do what he do. All right, it says, the goal is to clear your mind of such thoughts, which you should think about instead of acknowledging these thoughts without judging them, and then gently guiding your focus back towards your breathing. Potential pitfalls. Meditation can have a wide variety of benefits, a wide range of benefits, but they are, sorry about that, John. But there are also some potential pitfalls to watch for. As you are starting a new meditation habit, it can be easy to expect too much too quickly. The reality is that it takes time and practice to build a habit that can have a positive impact on your health and well-being. So you have to practice. It's not going to happen overnight, y'all. Ain't that what Abba said? It's not going to happen overnight. It's something that we have to put in practice. It has to become a habit, habitual, right? It says, it is also important to be aware that meditation is not without some risks. One study found that meditation often led to troubling feelings and thoughts that were difficult to manage because the same way that we're supposed to bring these thoughts into subjection to Yahushua, Satan ain't stopping, y'all. Just because we're trying to do a good thing don't mean the evil get blocked up. No, he's trying very hard now to bring those thoughts back under his subjection. Again, and I was not joking when I said that when that song was playing, we waging war, here comes Satan right then and there. He ain't wasting time, like my brother said. He's not wasting time with us anymore. The tests are coming quicker, y'all. We have to be on our P's and Q's, as they say. We have to dot every I, cross every T, as they used to say. We have to be about our Father's business, as my sister says so much. We got to put these things into practice, y'all. But again, where one is true, so is the other. It says, one study found that meditation often led to troubling thoughts, troubling feelings, and thoughts that were difficult to manage. The study also found that meditation might worsen the symptoms of some mental health conditions, including anxiety and depression. That's because they're meditating on the wrong thing. They don't know how to bring those thoughts in line and subjection. Some reports suggest that meditation may trigger or exacerbate psychotic states So meditation may not be recommended for people who have conditions such as schizophrenia. Why? They already have a mental condition. They are already troubled in the spirit. Already. Right? So, we're going to stop right there. We're not going to read that last part about the history of meditation. Let's go to the next article. It is called MyClevelandClinic.org. Again, this is what is meditation and scientific stuff. We're not going to read the whole thing. It's just, you know, two or three witnesses, y'all, if you want, in your spare time, but for time's sake, because there's still a whole bunch of stuff that we didn't talk, that I didn't get into yet. We still got to get into the words, y'all. But by the mouth of two or three. All right. Cleveland Clinic, it says, we're going to drop down to, it says, what is meditation? Meditation is a practice that involves focusing or clearing your mind using a combination of mental and physical techniques. Depending on the type of meditation you choose, you can meditate to relax, reduce stress, reduce anxiety and stress, and more. Some people even use meditation to help them improve their health, such as using it to help adapt to the challenges of quitting tobacco products. So again, what can't Yahushua do? What can he do, y'all? It says, the practice of meditation is thousands of years old, and different forms come from around the world. But modern science has only practiced in detail during the last few decades. Some of the biggest leaps in science understanding of meditation have only been possible thanks to modern technology. All right. We're going to drop down to says, how do you meditate? It says, there's no one correct way to meditate. That's because meditation can take many different forms. Experts have analyzed meditation practices and found that some common practices happen across different meditation forms. It says these are body-centered meditation. This is sometimes called self-scanning. Doing this involves focusing on the physical sensations you can feel throughout your body. Contemplation. This usually involves concentrating on a question or some kind of contradiction without letting your mind wander. Emotion-centered meditation. This kind of meditation has you focus on a specific emotion. For example, focusing on how to be kind to others, excuse me, or on what makes you happy in your life. Mantra meditation. This kind of meditation involves repeating either aloud or in your head and focusing on a specific phrase or sound. Now, another form of this, I have it on my phone every day when I, you know, cut my phone on. On my phone it says, I am in charge of my feelings. I am in control of my feelings. And today I choose to be happy. That's what it says on my phone. That's another way, another a mantra. So when you see this, what it does to you, and think about this, y'all. The more you repeat a thing, it breaks the adverse effects that something is going against. So, for example, one of the things that people often do, if a person says, you're ugly. One of the things people used to do was get in front of a mirror and say, I am pretty. I am pretty. I am beautiful. I am this. And it builds the confidence of it, of yourself. You know, the quote is just the positive reinforcement. I am worthy. I am this, you know, the mantras, and that's a form of meditation that people have been doing for years. And it literally changes the way you think about you, how you see you. meditation with movement. This type of meditation can involve focusing on breathing, holding your breath, or performing specific body movements. It can also involve walking while focusing on what you observe around you. Mindfulness meditation. This form of meditation is about staying aware of what's happening at the moment rather than letting your mind wander and worrying about the past or future. It can also involve a similar approach as body-centered meditation, using what you feel throughout your body as a foundation for your awareness of the world around you. Visual-based meditation. This kind of meditation involves focusing on something you see, either with your eyes or by concentrating on a mental image, right? Now, okay, we're going to drop down again. It says, why does meditation work? It says, thanks to advances in technology, researchers and healthcare providers can see how meditation affects your brain. However, to understand some of these changes, it helps to know a little about brain structure. In your brain, you have billions of neurons, which are cells that use electrical and chemical signals to send signals to each other. One neuron connects thousands to others, which is how your neurons form networks across different parts of your brain. Those networks form different areas of your brain, which have different jobs and specialties. Multiple research studies have found that people who meditate regularly have certain differences in their brain structure. Those changes usually involve brain tissue that's denser or certain areas of the brain that are larger than expected, which is a sign that the neurons there have more connections to each other and the connections are stronger. So it literally changes the surface of your brain, right? The affected areas of the brain are usually those that manage or control your senses. Remember, we talked about this, right? Your ability to think and concentrate and your ability to process emotions. That means the brains of people who meditate regularly are healthier and less likely to show age-related loss. Like we said, memory loss. Meditation helps you remember things. They also have stronger ability to deal and process negative emotions like fear, anger, and grief. All right? So that's all we're going to read from that. In your spare time, if you want to, you can read more. Because this one actually shows you how to, and again, starting a regimen of this, starting a habit of doing this. It tells you that. It actually, and down at the bottom, it says you can actually contact the clinic, you know, and I don't know if it's free. I don't know if you have to pay or anything like that, but they'll help. And again, this is something, but forgive me, y'all, for that. But, and I'm not trying to sound cynical. Believe me, my brother has stressed the importance of doctors to me. All right? But again, they're not telling you anything that can't be found in Abba's word. They're not going to say anything that isn't already in the word. All right? So my suggestion to you is to do what the word say, bring those thoughts under captivity, study his word, and that's what you do. You will get better. All right? So let's get into this word. Now, I looked up the word meditate within the word, and it's three different words for meditate in the Hebrew. well, three different words have been translated as meditate. One, my brother went over last night, siyak. Another is haga, and the other is siuk. Now, you can find this in the Hebrew section number 7742. This word is siuk, or siwak, excuse me, siwak. Now, it's spelled, and again, hallelujah, Abiyah, for just giving me confirmation. And again, you proven yourself to me, but it still feels good that you prove your word over and over and over again, right? Hebrew number 7742. Again, this word is siuk, and that's in your Strong's. Number 7742. This word is used one time and one time only. Right? And it's used in Genesis chapter 24, which we're going to read that whole chapter. Right? And this is a sidebar, y'all. It's spelled Shin Wav Ket. It's used that one time and one time only. Every other time that combination is used, it has been siak, siak, shin, yod, ket. Right? Every other time. It's only used this one time in Genesis chapter 24. It only appears that one time, and that's it. Every other time is shin, yod, ket, which happens to come up to 318, if you look at the numeric value for it, which also just so happens to, if you add up 3 and 8 and 1, you get 12, which is the 12 tribes of Israel. So what is he trying to let us know about this number and this word? Now, as my brother said, when you look at that word and this, the two front feet, the shin, which means destroy, that yod, which is the hand, which denotes work, that ket is also the wall, the fence, which is separation. Destroy the work, destroy the work of those who ain't separated. But when you look at the parent root of both of those words, it's the shin and the ket. Remember, y'all, we learned Hebrew class. You have the parent root, and the first thing they do with the adopted root or the child root, which we have in shiach and shiuk, both of those are adopted roots or child roots, is they add a vowel to it. So we know the parent root is the shin and the ket, which if you look at what it is, the shin, being those two front feet, is to destroy, like you said, or to press, destroy. And the ket is also that wall, which is a limitation. So you say, destroy the limits. Destroy the limits. And what that word is defined as meditation. What is meditation supposed to do? They defined it as, scientists have defined it as, a way to heighten. What do you mean by heighten? What do you mean by bringing you up or bringing you higher? See, because another one, and remember what we started off with, Jeremiah, who Yah has established, but his word, that word also can mean who Yah has risen or who Yah raises. Because the word room is in there. Who Yah raises. What's the purpose of meditation? He's trying to elevate our minds, y'all. The only way that we can elevate our minds, is to break past these limits that we have. That we have in this world. So it says, when we meditate, we see the world differently. Right? We see the world, we'll see the world differently. Right? We're not going to see the world when we constantly, when we focus our minds on Yahushua and we bring those thoughts into captivity, we're not going to be in line with this world. We're not going to see the world. Expect arguments, y'all. Me and my daughter, I love her to death. I love that. That's my baby girl, my firstborn. But she sees the world as the world sees it, as the world, she's in alignment with this world. And I'm not, I don't see it that way. So we clash. We clash. It don't break the love I have for it, and that's the part I'm trying to get through her head. The love that I have for you, it's not based on how we see the world or what the world thinks. It's not based on that. Because, again, like I told her, I said, baby girl, I don't care what you do in this world. I love you. And there's no way that you can stop me, make me. There's no way that you can stop me from loving you. You could be a mass murderer. I will still love you, but I'm not going to accept your deeds. I'm not going to agree with your deeds. It don't stop the love I have for you. And that's the part that we clash on, you know? But back to that. That's a way to strengthen our mental. When we have to bring these things into captivity, we have to break the limits. See, our environment places limits on us. Our circumstances places limits on us. The effects of sin place limits on us. It locks our brain down. And what Yahushua wants to do, see, all things are possible through God, through Yah. That's what the words say. But if we limit him, can everything be possible for us? If we limiting the possibilities, if we put the restraints on, right? So we have to change the way that we see things. And again, when we meditate, it literally, scientifically speaking, the same thing that the word says, it literally changes the form of our brain. It makes it denser, thicker. Right? So, the first time, again, all right, so let's look into that. Let's read Genesis chapter 24. And we're going to read that in its entirety. Genesis chapter 24, starting at verse 1. And it reads, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by Yahweh, the mighty ones, the Elohim of heaven and the Elohim of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac, Yitzchak, down in the King James, Isaac. And the servant said unto him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou came? And Abraham said unto him, beware you that you bring not my son thither again. Yahweh, Elohim of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed, or to your seed, will I give this land. He shall send an angel before you, and you shall take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this, my oath. Only bring not my son there again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, talking about the servant, O Yahweh, Elohim of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city came out to draw water. And it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Yitzchak, or Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So we got, what is he doing? Calling back one, the oath that he brought, that he had between Abraham and himself. But now he's involving Yahweh in it. Because I don't want to bring back the wrong woman. And I want you to show my master kindness like you always have. I want you to continue that. And I don't want to disappoint Abraham. Right? So I have this thing that I'm going to ask you. Right? So show it forth. Verse 10. He says, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, or Rivka, excuse me, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. So he's doing his part. And she said, drink, my master. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether Yahweh had made his journey prosperous or not. So now he's sitting up there, I got what I asked for. Is she the one? He's pondering on it. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring and a half a shekel wheat, of a half a shekel wheat, and two bracelets for our hands, 10 shekels wheat of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped Yahweh. And he said, blessed be Yahweh, Elohim of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. Brought it right back to Yahweh. So any doubts that he had, he knew. Boom, that's it. I asked for something specific. You gave it to me. Right? He says, who has not of my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, Yahweh led me in the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house, he thinks. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister saying, thus spake the man unto me. And he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of Yahweh. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came unto the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and Yahweh has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silvers and gold, and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, whose land I dwell. But you shall go unto my master's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, Yahweh before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And you shall take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shall you be clear from this my oath when you cometh to my kindred. And if they give thee not one, you shall be clear of my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Yahweh, Elohim of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin come forth to draw water, that I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I also draw from my camels. Let the same be the woman whom Yahweh has appointed for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drink, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare upon him, and put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. And I bowed my head down and worshipped Yahweh and blessed Yahweh, Elohim of my master, Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from Yahweh. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as Yahweh has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. And the servants brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning. And he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing Yahweh has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. You see what's happening here, y'all? The servant want to go. His mind is focusing on the oath to Abraham and what Yahweh has done to him. They're trying to bring other thoughts into play now, right? But what are we doing? Keeping these thoughts captive. Don't take the focus off of Yahweh. And they call Rebekah, verse 57. He said, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, you art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahorah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went to meditate, that's the word. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is that that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So why was Isaac meditating? His mama died. And anybody who had a parent pass away, their mind wanders. I often go think about my mother. Think about my father. My mother and my father passed away. And my mind wanders. And sometimes Satan will get to stir up those emotions, right? But you got to focus, because he wants to get you thinking again. Meditation can lead to those depressing thoughts also. Satan knows how to manipulate this brain also. All right? So it's critical that we keep focus, right? So Again, the word is suach. This is the only time that that word appears in Scripture. Every other time, it's siach. Now, let's go to this last article. Benefits of meditation. It's on Healthline. Oh, wait. Okay, 12 science-based benefits of meditation. It's on Healthline.com. I'm going to just drop down to the benefits. Please read the article, y'all. When you get a chance, I'm kind of pressed for time right now. Say one, it reduces stress. I'm not going to read all of it. Two, controls anxiety. Three, promotes emotional health. Four, enhances self-awareness. Lengthens attention span, y'all. Six, may reduce age-related memory loss. Seven, can generate kindness. Eight, may help fight addictions. Again, they talked about how people use meditation to fight cigarettes. Nine, improves sleep. 10, helps control pain. 11, can decrease blood pressure. 4, accessible and anywhere. Now, forgive me, like I said, I'm pressed for time, but Abba it's a couple more things Abba really needs to stress to us. One, it talked about how when you start meditation, you have to be in a quiet place and this, that, and another. Truthfully speaking, that don't happen all the time, right? So we have to learn to meditate and bring these things into captivity wherever we are, wherever we're going through. So we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to read that in its entirety. 1 Kings chapter 19, and it says, and Ahab, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Eliah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Eliah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of those of them by tomorrow about this time. So he's under stress. Understand these stresses are coming and we have to. Because we're in a war. There is no timeouts. There's no timeouts. And again, if he can get you, he's going to get you. Because he's trying to get you. Have you not considered my servant Job? Yeah, I'm considering him all the time. Every second of the day I want to get him. But you got this hedge about him. Can't get to him. I want him bad though. That's what he's saying. I want to tear his butt up. But you got him hedged up. I can't touch him. You won't let me. But again, we in this war. So he says, verse 3, he says, and when we saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. He's under stress, y'all. I don't want to live no more. He says, and said, it is enough now, O Yahweh. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of Yahweh came again, and a second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You've got to get strengthened, y'all. You've got to, that's what he's saying. Because another word, guess what? Meditation has also been translated as journey. the word for meditation, I should say, has also been translated as journey. So he says, for the journey is too great for thee. And in verse 8, and he arose, and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of Elohim. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, and he said unto him, why are you here? What dost thou hear, Eliah? Why are you here, Eliah? And he said, I have been very jealous for you, for Yahweh Elohim hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down your altars, slain your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, and listen to this, y'all. Go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by with a great and strong wind, rent the mountains, and break into pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So while all that is going on, we have to concentrate on Yahweh. Bring those thoughts into captivity. The still small voice. It don't stop everything that go around you. It don't stop those demons from whispering to you. None of that stops. The fires, the earthquakes, the wind, all that stuff keeps on going on. But you have to find that small, still voice and hear Yahweh. Again, the point of meditation is not to clear your mind, but to just align it and get it back into focus. When we go or to the right or to the left, Abba, correct us. Get us back in focus. We pray that constantly. But if we don't do it mentally, there's no way we can do it physically. As a man thinketh, so shall he be. So if you're wondering why, like my brother said, sometimes he got the potty mouth. All of a sudden it came nowhere. Why? His thinking was off. That's where it starts. Wasn't focusing on what he wasn't thinking about, what he was thinking about. And that happens for everybody. Eliah, they trying to kill me. This man stopped it from raining by his word for 3.5 years. And now he shook. We're men. And it takes with men, with women, and sometimes we take our eyes off the prize, even the prophets. He says, and after the fire, a still small voice, verse 13, and it was so when Eliah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Eliah? And he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenants, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. And even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And Yahweh said unto him, go, return unto the way, to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come there, anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria, and Yahu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elishua, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in your room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elishua slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed thence and fell Elishua, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Eliab passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Eliab and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of the oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and he did eat. Then arose and went after Eliab and ministered unto him. So, again, we have to have that concentration. We have to get that focus. See, he said, "What are you doing here, Eliab? This ain't your mission. It's only me left, Abba. It's only me left." Hold up. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Earthquake, rumble, this, that, and another going on. Eliab, what you doing here? And when he heard it, what did he say? He wrapped his mouth. "Oh, my goodness, I'm not worthy of this." Because when Abba, you're going through all this, and then Abba say, "I'm still talking to you. Don't forget about me." And it comes so small. It comes so, the little things. It gets you. And then you going, "How can I ever doubt you? I doubted you again." And you feel like crap. I know I did it. You feel bad for doubting Abba. You feel bad for thinking that he left you. Right? But anybody who serves him goes through these emotional roller coasters. He got to show you the highs, and he got to show you the lows, and he got to show you everything in between. He's a good father. Right? So, we talked about Siak and Suak. The other word that has been translated as meditate, very interesting word. Another very interesting word in the Hebrew. Oops, that's the wrong button. All right. In your Hebrew section, number 1897. This word is Haggah. Now, it means to moan, to growl, to utter. It means to murmur. This word is spelled Hey, Gimel, Hey. The parent root for this word is the Hey and the Gimel. So the Hey is the man with his arms up. The Gimel is your feet. Now, remember, this word is, it means to mutter. The Hey is singing, "Behold, behold your feet," or "Behold your walk, watch your walk." So how do you get murmuring out of that? Well, one of the things that when you do, you watch me walk, or you bow your head down. And one of the things that what you do when you bow your head, you sometimes mutter things under your breath, to speak under your breath. When you're watching your feet, you're bowing your head, and you're kind of talking to yourself. And see, but everybody's looking at it as when it says murmur. Murmur don't mean it's not always a bad thing. You know, you can murmur good things. "Abba is so good to me," with your head bowed down. You just walking, thinking about the goodness of Yahweh, right? So it has the positive connotation, because we know they murmured, and Israel murmured, and got penalized for it. But it's also the negative, the negative and the positive, right? So again, it being hay, gimel, hay. So you have the two hays flanking the gimel. So what Abba led me to do, one, is to go to Psalms 119. Go to the part of the gimel. So we're going to start in Psalms 119. And we're going to start at verse 17. Right? Pay attention to this, y'all. Psalms 119, starting at 17. It says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou my eyes, that they may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did this and spake against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. That's in the gimel, watching your walk, right? So the testimony serves as the counselors. Testimony serves in the concentration. Testimony serves in the captivity. Testimony. What has he given us if we just concentrate on his word? What hasn't he given us? People can hate us all they want. People can dislike us all they want. But if we meditate on that word, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because his word is thy counselor. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of Yahweh, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, which means those who are godly, those who do look after this word, are going to stand in the judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for Yahweh knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed be you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, Abba Yah. In the name of thy son, Yahushua, our Mashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Abba, thank you for allowing me to speak your word. I normally say this in private, but thank you, Abba. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for using me. Thank you for putting your word in my mouth. Thank you for just finding me worthy. Pray, Abba, that you continue to open our minds, open our hearts to your words, that you release these shackles, release all this doubt that we have. Like the word say, we believe to help our unbelief. Get us to where you need us to be, Abba. Thank you once again for the Shabbat day. Pray that you open up and put your words within Yaka'el, our brother, going to teach you later on in the day. Fill him up with your spirit and let him edify us. Let you edify us through him. Father, continue to watch over our sister Chomi, our Ima Deborah, the Zakins, anyone who is hurting our rabbi, anyone who is hurting physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Strengthen us, Abba. Let us meditate on your word. Let us become stronger within your word. Let us become those defense cities that you already said we are. Allow us to know it. Allow us to become those strong walls, those ox, as our brother brought forth long time ago, that realization what we ought to be, ak, akoti, strong walls to one another. Allow us to know we are that defense city, and allow us to know that you fight for us. Make this our reality. So we don't see the world as we see it. We see it as you see it. Elevate our minds little by little, Abba, and in your good pleasure. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and thank you once again for the Shabbat day, this time that you have set forth, you set apart for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Enjoy the Shabbat.
and breathing. Those chants of freedom you're ringing across the sea. Land of milk and honey. One day we'll wake up from this dream and we'll stop sleeping.